Get up in the evening feeling like Craig Thompson. Yeah. Grab my laptop, set up my mic, I'm gonna rant and rave some. Before I record, grab a glass of Coke and Jack. Cause when we begin recording, I know I'm not refilling that. Talking, previewing all the games, analyzing stats and plays, laughing, poking fun at names. Jeremy reads and quotes Phil Fielzine, pulling up numbers and reads. Starting to get a bit off topic, see? What? Don't stop, make it hot, yell about the games not. Chris will start a fight about the rankings tonight. Mountain West connection and the hot takes don't stop now. Whoa, 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 whoa. Whoa, 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 don't stop, make it hot, yell about the takes not. Chris will start a fight about the rankings tonight. Mountain West connection and the hot takes don't stop now. Whoa, 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 whoa. We're biased against your team and we make that clear. Don't get paid, don't ever fade, cause we're already here. Talk about hoops and football, cause we got all the swagger. Sometimes guests come on the show, but we never have Mick Jagger. All the writers cramping up, Matt's throwing his arms up, Kyle's got all the funny stuff. We go until SBN shuts us down, or Mountain West hunts us down. Mountain West shuts us down, nobody's gonna shut us down. Don't stop, make it hot, yell about the takes not. Chris will start a fight about the rankings tonight. Mountain West connection and the hot takes don't stop now. Whoa, 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 whoa. Whoa, 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 whoa. Don't stop, make it hot, yell about the takes not. Chris will start a fight about the rankings tonight. Mountain West connection and the hot takes don't stop now. Whoa, 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 whoa. Whoa, 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 whoa.
All right, folks, we're doing this live 2 days in a row because, well, stuff happens and we do it this way. Jeremy Moss here going solo. Check us out, MWCConnection.com. We're continuing our season preview of as many non-conference teams as possible. And we're lucky for today because we're going to be talking BYU, and they knock out 6 of those in one shot here, which is very beneficial to us. And to do so, we bring on Robbie McCone from BakersRepo.com. First off, Robbie, how'd you like their opening number there?
Yeah, I mean, you got the hot takes flowing, that music there. I mean, I'm pumped, ready to go. I like it.
Thank you. So, yeah, we brought you on to talk Cougars. And like I said, we're trying to get about 50 of these done, but
yeah.
Thank you for taking care of 6 of those today. Because what do we have? I still have to look every time. Was it Fresno State, Boise State, UNLV, Hawaii, San Jose? Is that everybody I'm thinking?
I think there's so many. I have 6 of them. I think that all of them.
Close
I got
enough.
All of them. But yeah, about half the schedule, it's like BYU's pretty much back in the Mountain West this year, almost seems like.
Can't get too far away from us, man. You're always hanging around.
Just always lingering.
Always. So what we're going to do here, let's start with the big picture like we've done for every one of these team previews. Give us your big view of what happened during spring football so everybody can be aware of what was going down there in Provo.
Yeah, so BYU is year 2 of Kalani Sitake, his coaching staff. They're the second year, so just a little everyone's a little more dialed in, kind of know what's expected. They were more familiar with Ty Detmer's offensive system, with Ilasa Tuiaki, the defensive coordinator, his system. So just a lot more of a comfort level. And I think the biggest thing this year is just really important that the team knows that Tanner Ming and that at quarterback, he's the guy to lead the team. So you kind of look back last year, Taysom Hill, he wasn't officially named the starter, but it was kind of understood that he would be the starter. I mean, he was injured last year, so it was kind of almost an awkward situation, if you want to call that, because Tanner Megan, he was taking all the first team reps, but everyone's like, okay, we know it's Taysom gets ready, healthy and ready to go. He'll be the starter. So I think it was really good for this team that, hey, they know, hey, Tanner Megan, he's entrenched as our starter. He's the leader. He had a lot more confidence in himself knowing that, hey, I'm the guy, I could go out with the receivers, throw the ball, really understand the offense. So I think from that perspective, and BYU avoided any major injuries there. So I think just from that leadership perspective, knowing that Tanner Mangum's the guy, I think overall it was a really good spring ball for BYU.
So with him being the guy, are they a better team with him being quarterback, Tanner Mangum over Taysom Hill?
Yeah, I mean, I think this offense, the ceiling, just with Taysom's injury history, just his style. I mean, he's not a prototypical NFL-type quarterback. Cause that's the offense BYU's in, but the pro-style offense Ty Detmer wants to implement. I mean, Tanner Mangum, just the accolades he had coming out of high school. Coming out, he was a Elite 11 co-MVP with Jameis Winston. We know what Jameis Winston did in college. He won a Heisman Trophy. He won a national championship. And Tanner Mangum had those accolades coming out of high school. And then freshman year, he put up some good numbers, threw for over 3,300 yards. And I think, I mean, we last year in the bowl game, it was pretty bad weather against Wyoming, and he struggled a lot. So there, it's still a little bit up in the air how he'll be able to fit into this offense. Because he did get a little lucky his freshman year. He had some three receivers at 6'5 to throw to. So a lot of times he just kind of throw it up, put it in a good spot for his receivers to make a play. But that's the big question is, do you have those receivers to kind of bail Tanner out of some situations? So I think the ceiling is a little bit higher for Tanner compared to Taysom, just because what he brings, he has better arm strength, he has better accuracy, but he doesn't have the legs Taysom had, and Taysom got BYU have a lot of such bad situations with that. So I think higher ceiling, but lower floor with Tanner.
All right, since you mentioned receivers really quick, they lost their top three guys. One of the Giants, Nick Kurtz is gone, Mitchell Jurgens, Colby Pearson. They sort of have a tight end coming in, if it's going to be Moroni Latu-Putitau or Justin Trinnaman or Jonah Trinnaman, who burner downfield. Who's going to step up and take place of those guys?
Yeah, it has to be Jonah Trinnaman. He was a JUCO All-American coming out of Snow College. And like you said, he's a burner. He's a guy that's got 4.4 type of speed. He could really stretch the field. And Taysom, for all the good things he did, he just didn't quite have the arm to take advantage of Jonah's speed. I mean, Jonah really only had one long touchdown catch last year. It was against the Toledo game. He had a 75-yard touchdown reception the first play in the Toledo game. Which I think Tanner really does have he has an NFL-type arm where he could take advantage of Jonah's speed down the field. So I think that's the first guy, Jonah Trinnaman, he's really got to step up. And then tight ends, that's what Ty Detmer really wants to implement in the offense. I touched on spring ball a little bit before. One guy just got off a Mormon mission was Matt Bushman. He showed really well in the spring game. He's a guy that really needs to step up. Something that Ty Detmer wants to implement in the offense, the tight end. And then another guy you mentioned, Moroni Lualau-Putitau. He's going to be switching over from wide receiver to tight end. Right now, he doesn't have the frame necessarily to block well enough. But he's a guy, he's a big guy. He could really catch the ball. So those are three guys at BYU. They really want to be at least a consistent offense with some explosive plays. They're going to need those receivers to step it up this year.
All right, let's quit beating them around the bush. The big question offense, Jamal Williams, who's going to replace him at running back? He's now with the Packers. They have a couple of guys back there, but I'm watching spring ball. They see Ty Detmer saying, well, whoever is the best at catching the ball or running the ball, blocking, or fits the play call will see playing time. Is that what you think, or who do you think could be the guy by the time most of these games are second half of the year, so we shouldn't know who it is, though?
Yeah, I mean, you hear a lot of coach speak from, like, the coaches, like Reno Mahe, the running back coach. They'll be like, oh, no, we have a lot of good running backs, and they'll all take reps. But I think that's really kind of code for no one separate themselves in spring ball, and we don't know who's going to be the lead back. So I think initially it's probably going to be Squally Canada. He was the backup to Jamal Williams this past year. He's a transfer from Washington State. So I think initially out of the gate, he'll probably be the guy that will be the focal point. I mean, he was a solid running back last year. He got the start in the Boise State game. You know, wasn't necessarily, I think, flashy. He's a guy that could get you 4 to 5 yards of carry, but he doesn't just necessarily have that wow factor that Jamal Williams has. I mean, very few running backs around the country are going to have that wow factor. He's a fourth-round pick in the NFL draft. But I think the guy that really excited about, I think it's going to be Ula Tolutau. He just really also got back from a LDS mission. He was a Wisconsin commit prior to his mission. And then with the change in the coaching staff, he committed to BYU. And he's a big bruising back. He just totally abolished and obliterated all of the Utah high school state rushing records. He rushed a ton of yards in high school. I think he's the guy with the highest ceiling. If BYU really wants to take this offense to the next level, I think he's the guy that really needs to step up. You mentioned pass-catching ability. His pass-catching ability is a little bit in question. But, I mean, he's a guy, he's a bruiser, he's a banger. So I think down the road this season, maybe not initially, he might more split carries. But I think down the road, he could be the more feature and prominent role in BYU's offense.
Yeah, he's huge. Listed 6'1", 255.
Yeah.
He needs
Jerome Bettis. Yeah, he's a big boy. I mean, he could – BYU obviously would have the pro-style offense. We could see him, like, in fullback-type situations. But I think he's a guy, as long as he continues to get back in shape, I think he's the guy that could steal a lot of those carries.
All right, let's switch over to the defense really quick. For people who know anything about college football, Kalani Sitake, what he did at Oregon State, University of Utah, he's coached with Gary Anderson, Kyle Whittingham, a lot of defensive coaches. So that's usually going to be no issue, no problems. What's your, like, the highlight of the defense, you think, for the best unit going in for this next year?
Yeah, no question. It's going to be the linebackers. BYU, they run a 4-3 scheme. BYU returns all three linebackers from this past season. And the best guy on the team is outside linebacker Fred Warner. I mean, BYU's had some great linebackers under Broadcom Mendenhall, and even before that, he's kind of in the mold of that Kyle Van Noy type, just a playmaker on the outside. He'd get after the quarterback. BYU actually uses him a lot in nickel situations. He's good in pass coverage. He had an amazing interception return in last year versus in the Boise State game. He had an amazing pick six. So he's the guy. He headlines that he's the best player on the team right now, the best NFL potential. And then the other two guys, you have Butch Pauw in the middle. He's like just one of the prototypical middle linebackers. He gets you 20 tackles a game, just loves contact. You'll see him. He'll get a tackle and just laugh. He just loves playing football, loves contact. And the other outside linebacker spot, you got Francis Bernard, who actually last year was his first year playing outside linebacker. He's a junior now. He played running back his freshman year and had quite a bit of success, but the staff decided to move him over to the outside. He had a good year last year, and he was still learning the position, was able to start. Now he has another year under his belt. So it's definitely that linebacker unit is kind of – that's definitely BYU's calling card on the defense side of the ball. They really get after it in pressure. They stop the run. That's where things really start for the defense.
All right, one player stood out because we're going to wrap this up here just so we're not going extremely long. Corbin Kafusi,
okay.
Played basketball,
yeah.
Back to football full-time, 6'9", 285.
Yeah.
This is going to be his second year in going to straight into football. What do they expect from him this year? Because the defensive line is losing most of their players anyway from last year, too. So he's likely to be the most experienced guy back.
Yeah, he's a guy that will need to be counted on. I think one thing going against him a little bit, I think it probably would have served him well if he just would have just quit basketball this past season. It sounds like in the future he's not going to play basketball anymore. But that prohibited, he wasn't able to participate in spring ball this year. So I think that would have been really beneficial for him to have another spring ball under his belt. But, I mean, he surprised last year. Not many people expected him to have the production that he did. But he had great production. He had a few sacks, a couple of block kicks, as you can imagine, with his 6'9 frame. I think he's another guy that will take a step forward. I wouldn't expect necessarily a huge impact player. But, I mean, he's probably going to start along that defensive line. He's obviously 6'9", so I think he naturally will take another step forward. But I wouldn't necessarily envision a huge leap for him, as many would suspect, just due to he didn't participate in spring ball, just wasn't able to get back. He's getting back into football shape a little bit later. So he's the guy that doesn't be counted on one of the defensive end spots, because that was one of the weaknesses for BYU last year, just generating a pass rush.
All right, what a final question for you. Since they're playing six
yeah.
Mountain West teams, what do you think the record will be against all these schools they're playing this year?
Yeah, I think 5-1.
It is the middle of summer, so it's okay to guess. If you want, it's not a big deal.
Yeah.
I'll hold it to you.
Yeah. I'd say 5-1. I'd say probably lose to Boise State. I could go either, because that past few years, I mean, the home team has pretty much owned it, whoever's been home. I mean, last year, the last game at Provo, BYU, Boise State, they did – after Tanner Mangum, he got the first possession, he got a touchdown. Boise shut down BYU for the rest of the game, and then the last two possessions, obviously, BYU, Tanner Mangum had, they had the Hail Mary, and then the kind of pick six. That the score, BYU won by 11, but it was – Boise State was up by 4 with less than a minute left. So I think that's the biggest toss-up. BYU should be favored pretty heavily in the rest of the games. So my guess will be 5-1. BYU could go 6-0. I mean, they could drop a couple games with injuries. But I would say BYU goes 5-1 against the Mountain West teams, with the lone loss being the Boise State.
I think it makes a lot of sense. The only other game that might cause them some trouble, maybe at Hawaii, because all the other teams are pretty, honestly, not very good in the Mountain West. But Hawaii was just the worst. That's the only one where maybe, but they're giving them, looking at some numbers, like 75% chance to win that Hawaii game. So it's like, well, probably not.
Yeah.
Be a loss for them.
Yeah, you never know with, you know, the travel going out to Hawaii being the last game. Who knows? Because BYU, they could be 8-5 and have their bowl destination locked up. So motivation, BYU is in a little unique position being independent. Is motivation, you don't know what their motivation level is going to be at. So I think that could be one potentially that BYU could drop as well.
Excellent. Thank you, Robbie, for hopping on with us on this day for a couple of minutes.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
But yeah, no problem. Check all his stuff out at vanquishedopo.com, and we'll probably chat again with six games coming up down the road. But have a good one, man.
For sure. You too, man. Thanks for having me on.
All right. See ya. All right. One more time. That was Robbie McCombs from vanquishedopo.com. All BYU stuff. Yes, they play six Mountain West teams, basically back in the conference for the most part. It's good to play BYU. I know some fans of the league do not like that just because they went independent. They kind of did their own thing. But he's not wrong. The record could be 6-0, 5-1. Utah State, who knows if they'll get that much better with new OC David Yost. I'm going to say it'll take a bit. It is up in Logan, which a little bit interesting just because it's a road game, but a lot of BYU fans in the state. Here's who they play really quick, if, just so we have the schedule laid out in front of people. They play at Utah State on September 29th. BYU host Boise State on October 7th, and then you have a couple of other games. Then it goes San Jose State October 28th at BYU, at Fresno State November 4th, at UNLV November 11th, and then at Hawaii end of season November 25th. So those are the Mountain West foes BYU plays this year, and they're projected to win every game outside the Boise State game. That's about a 50-50 slight edge to the Broncos. And again, only the Hawaii game, my opinion, might be the only one. Well, I guess Utah State, Bill Connolly gives BYU a 59% chance to win that game. That seems a bit low in my opinion, just because Utah State wasn't great last year and they're replacing running back, new OC, new coaches. And then out, compared to out Hawaii, where they went to a bowl game, won their bowl game, have Drew Brown at quarterback, have some decent talent they're returning. So we'll see how it plays out. But once again, we thanks for Robbie hopping on and joining us for another off-season show. If you listen live, let us know. It's kind of a last-second thing to go live. We didn't prepare to do this live today, but whenever you're listening to this on the beach down in July, August, a week before the game, whichever Mountain West team you are, thanks for listening to the show. We're on iTunes, we're on Stitcher, we're on SoundCloud. Oh no, sorry, scratch that. We haven't been on SoundCloud for a while. Sorry. Tune in radio as well. Leave us a comment if you love the show. Give us a review on those platforms. Obviously, 5-star preferably. And everyone have a good day. And as always, yeah, we're biased against your team, guys.